favorite beginning here, 8 lines down on the top of Kuf Ched Amud Aleph. We're still discussing the 6 shofarot that are in the Mikdash as to what their labels were, as what their purpose was. We saw a number of opinions amongst the Amoraim so far. We saw the position of Rabbi Yochanan that it was because we were worried about the coins going bad. We saw the position of Chizkiah that it was Keneged Shisha Batei Avot. Had to do with the different Batei Avot that are serving, so there wouldn't be competition between them. And then we had Zeiri, who suggested it had to do with the Nidavot, the different forms of Allah that you could bring, the different animals that you could bring. And then we had Barpada, who said that it has to do with the Motarot going to one place, and those that were lost going to another place. And then the Ma'ah was the last of them. The Gemara discussed why we would possibly not agree with each one of those opinions, and therefore the other Amoraim don't accept the position of each one of the other Amoraim. And now we're up to another position within the Amoraim, which is Shmuel Amar. Again, we already saw this back on Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Keneged Motar Chatat, Umotar Hashem, Umotar Hashem Nazir, Umotar Hashem Bitzora, Umotar Minchat Chote, Umotar Asirit Taifa Shel Kohen Gadol. So Shmuel gives us a different view. Part of that is already incorporating the criticism of Barpada's Shita. Barpada's Shita was rejected by the other Amoraim because why should there be any difference between Motarot and the ones that were lost and then found afterwards? Whatever is left over is left over. Why does it matter? We already discussed the possibility that there's a difference between a whole animal that's left over and then you're trying to redeem it, where you would might want to have that segregated or kept separately versus Motarot, which are small excesses of Korbanot. And there you might be able to aggregate them. That was the view of Barpada. But it's clear here that Shmuel is saying that Motar covers all of these items. And then these are the Motarot that we would speak about. Motar Chatat, for things that are left over from a Chatat. And Motar Hashem, things that are left over from an Hashem. That's whether it was excess monies that you had set aside to pay for these items, or whether they were lost and then found. You've used something else to discharge your obligation vis-a-vis those, and now you have these excesses that are left over. Again, as we saw yesterday, that Motar Chatat is not going to be by the private Chatat of an individual, where it's lost and then found, but by the Chatot and Tzibur. So then you have the Chatat, you have the Hashem, and then you have the Motar Hashem Nazir and Motar Hashem Mitzora. And as we discussed back on Kuf Dalet, the reason that he segregates these two out is because they are different than a regular Hashem. A regular Hashem, a regular Chatat, come to be Mechaper on a Chet. On the other hand, the Hashem Nazir and the Hashem Mitzora are coming to terminate whatever status that they have now. And even within those, there's a difference because the Hashem Nazir comes to facilitate the Nazir's ability to switch over from Nizirut Betuma to Nizirut Betara, to start his Nizirut Betara, whereas the Hashem Mitzora comes to be Matir, the Mitzora, to return to the Machaneh and to participate in Kodoshim. So they have different reasons as well. So that's why there are 3 separate shofarot for these Hashemot, the regular Hashem, then the Hashem Mitzora and the Hashem Nazir. Each one of them has their own shofar. Now, here we have, in addition, in Shmuel's position, to something that we haven't seen before, which is Motar Minchat Choteh, the residuals, the extras left over from a Minchat Choteh, where, again, we've learned earlier in the Masechta that the Minchat Choteh is called a Chatat. And therefore, Motra, the excesses are the Nidvata Tzibur. We're going to learn that in Temura. We learned it in the beginning of the Masechta. But the Motar of other Minachot, they don't go to Nidvat Tzibur. Ella, you aggregate them, or you take them and add money to them, and then you bring another mincha. So if you had excess money left over from a mincha that you were going to bring, Rashi says over here, Motar ma'ot shor menachot lo azdim nidvat tzibur, el hu yosif mishalo mevi mincha acheret. You bring in an additional mincha to fill in the deficit, or you aggregate monies together, and then you bring another mincha with it. So it's only the motar minchat choteh, where you have those excess monies from a minchat choteh, that will go to Nidvat Tzibur, and that's why there's a shofar for it, as well as Motar Asirit Ha'ifa Shel Kohen Gadol, that is the excesses or the leftover of the Minchat Chabitin of the Kohen Gadol, that he brings each day. If he set aside monies for the Asirit Ha'ifa, and then there was something left over, he cannot then aggregate them and use them the next day, but rather, or they are then placed in the Nidvat Tzibur. Because that, as Rashi notes, is also called a chatat. The Gemara in Moed Katan says that with regards to the pasuk that we find in Yechezkel, the Balei Tosafot also noted that the pasuk in Yechezkel gives an indication that the Asirit Teifa is called a chatat. Now, it's not a chatat, the gamre, doesn't have all the trappings of a chatat, but at least with regards to this, Shmuel sees this as being a chatat, and a motar chatat means it's going to go to nidvat ha-tzibur. So if there are excess money is left over from that which the Kohen Gadol brings on a daily basis of the minchat chavitin, those are going to go to the minchat tzibur instead of being used for his minchat chavitin the next day. Partly, the reason being is because it's not a minchat tzibur. The minchat that the Kohen Gadol brings is from his own personal house. It's something that he has to fund. You don't get to use it like Leif Beit Din Matne Alehen and then repurpose it like we've seen before with regards to Korbanot and Tzibur. Over here, because it belongs to the Yachid, it's going to follow the track of a Minchat Choteh, and therefore the excesses are going to be put into the Shofarot. Now, as to why you need to have the different Shofarot, again, we explained by Bar Pada why you might need to have separate Shofarot. Over here, according to Shmuel, where we already are mingling excesses of monies that you set aside for a Korban and Korbanot that were lost and then found, there's no distinction between whole animals and partial animals, and therefore it becomes harder and harder to understand why there are separate shofarot in the Mikdash. Fundamentally, why should there be any distinction between these items? And we mentioned previously, it was maybe for practical reasons, which are, these are the items that have mutar that are placed in shofarot, nothing else has that. And then that would possibly permit you to commingle the monies afterwards, because they weren't kept separate for any inherent reason, but they were kept separate so that people who came and knew that if they had motar from these items, this is where they go. But if it's motar from something else, then it doesn't go into these shofarot. And if it's simply a practical reason like that, then you could possibly commingle the monies later on when you're buying the nidvah de tzibur. On the other hand, if you think there's more of a fundamental reason to separate out each of these items, now we have explanations for why you might have separate shofarot for a nasham and a nasham nazir and a nasham bitzora, which would speak to a more fundamental reason, then you would have to believe that you cannot commingle the monies that are found in these shofarot in order to bring the nidvot hatzibur. Rabbi Shaya says something slightly different than Shmuel. Keneged motar chatat, umotar asham, umotar asham nazir, umotar asham mitzora. So far he's the same as Shmuel all along, but now he has the difference. Umotar kinin, excess monies from birds that you were bringing as korbanot. Umotar minchat choteh, and then the minchat choteh, which is again similar to Shmuel. So the distinction between Rabbi Shaya and Shmuel is the difference between the motar kinin versus the motar asirita ifa of the Kohen Gadol. And now Shmuel, my time alone, mark Rabbi Shaya. Why doesn't Shmuel hold like Rabbi Shaya? And as the Balei Tosafot say, that's not just a question on Shmuel. Well, didn't call any Amorai Lael. It's a question on all the Amoraim till now. Why don't they subscribe to this view of Rabbi Shaya? Mar says, because kinim tani le resha. That's because the kinim already found in the resha of that Mishnah in Shkalim, which is that we already discussed that we're dealing here with 13 different shofarot. We are only speaking about 6 out of the 13 shofarot, which are the 6 lenidava, the 6 that take whatever monies they have in them, they go to nidvat tzibur, the brothers olot for the tzibur. But there are actually 7 other shofarot that are there. And the 7 shofarot are, number 1, taklin chadatin, that's the new machatzita shekel that you're bringing. There was taklin atikin, which is the old one, meaning if you miss bringing the machatzita shekel in the previous year, to make it up, or you could put it in here. Kinin. There's a bucket for kinin, when you have to bring a pair of birds, which is an olah and a chatat, it's placed into that shofar. Gozle olah. If you have to either bring a kurban olah from a bird, or you gave a nidava as a bird, gozle olah was the 4th one. The 5th one is etzim, for whether you dedicated wood or you wanted to dedicate wood to the Mikdash. Ulivona, and then there's the same thing. If you had dedicated Livona or you wanted to dedicate Livona, there was a 6th shofar. And then Zahav, Lakaporet, there was a 7th one, which was for the gold, for the internal parts of the Eichal, where they plated it with gold. that was to supply the gold to the Mikdash, or monies for the gold to the Mikdash. So those are the seven shofarot that we haven't been discussing. Amongst those seven shofarot, as you noted, was the word kinin. You already have a shofar for birds. So now, the reason that the Amoraim here, including Shmuel, do not subscribe to Boshaya, is because, why do you need a separate shofar for motar kinin, if you already have a shofar for kinim itself? Rabbi Yoshaya Tani below Tani Kinin. He has the Mishnah. He just won't have Kinin in the beginning of his Mishnah. Is that really true? Vatani Rabbi Yoshaya Vatani Kinim. Rabbi Yoshaya does have the word Kinim in his version of the Mishnah. And he still, despite that, brings in Motar Kinim. The answer is Chad the Kinim, Vechad the Motar Kinim. Rabbi Yoshaya believes that you have to keep those separate. One is for the kinim themselves, which require monies to be placed in and then are brought. The other one is for the motar kinim, things that are left over for the kinim. The kinim one was used for mechusere kapara. People who needed kapara, and once they get their kapara, then they're mutar to eat kodashim, they're mutar to eat in the mikdash. So they placed their money into there, and the assumption was, and the Gemara tells us in Erevin, that eight beitin shel kohanim umdim misham ad sheichlu kol ha'mot shevoto shofar, that they used to drain that shofar every day, because people were counting on the fact that those korbanot would be brought, and by nightfall they'd be mutar to eat kodoshim and to go into the mikdash. And if they didn't bring it, then they would be lifnei iver, they'd be really causing problems for these people. So there's a different need in terms of the kinim, where people are bringing that as their primary kinim, where it needs to get done daily, and it needs to be finished off. And we also need to know the exact amount in there, because we need to buy the right number of birds. That's the kinim. Motar kinim is stuff that's left over from that, and excesses of the kinim, and they have to be segregated, and they're separate from the kinim themselves. So that's how Rabbi Yoshaya would respond to the claim of the other Amoraim, that why do you need two separate shofarot, one for kinim, and one for motar kinim. Now, Rabbi Yoshaya, maitama lomar kishmuel. Why doesn't Rabbi Yoshaya hold like Shmuel? Over here, the Baal Tosafot say that the other Amoraim, we don't need to know about. Because Shmuel introduces this idea of motar minchat poteh goes l'nidava. And so, the other Amoraim just don't believe that a motar mincha goes l'nidava. Whereby Shmuel says, by other minachot, it doesn't go l'nidava. It's only by the minchat poteh. The other Amoraim would just say, we don't have any minachot that go to nidava. And so that's how they'll disagree with Shmuel. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshaya, who says, similar to Shmuel, that a motar minchat poteh does go the nidava, then you can raise the question as to why doesn't he hold like Shmuel, and also think that the motar asirit ha'ifa, the motar of the chavitim of the Kohen Gadol, which is also called the chatat, why doesn't that also go to nidava? And that's the nature of the question over here, which is why doesn't he also subscribe to this idea that the motar asirit ha'ifa also goes to nidava. Rabbi Yoshaya, my time alo mark Shmo. Sabar lakimand amar, motar asivit ha'ifa shel kohen gadol yirkav. That he thinks that the leftovers of the minchat chavitim rot. They don't go to the nidava. Titania, because we have a brighter. Motar minchat nidava, motar mincha yirkav. So when it comes to the motar of a minchat nidava, or the motar of a mincha yirkav. My kamar, what is meant? It's somewhat cryptic brayta that says that a leftover from a minchat nidava and a leftovers from a mincha will go to rot. Amar Rav Chisda, achi kamar, this is the meaning. Motar minchat choteh nidava. He reparses the Mishnah, which is motar minchat choteh goes le nidava. Motar asirit yaifa shokoin gadol yirkav. Whereas the motar of the minchat chavitim, the kohen gadol, that will be put out to rot. So if you read the Brayta in that way, that will explain Rabbi Yoshaya's position. Rabbi Yoshaya's position is that motar of the minchat choteh goes nidava, that's why you need a shofar. Whereas the motar of the minchat chavitin is yirkav, it goes to rot. Rabba amar afilu motar asirit ha'ifa shel kohen gadol nami nidava. Rabba disagrees with Rav Chisda's explanation, and this will more align with the position of Shmuel, which is not only does the motar of a minchat choteh go to nidava, so does the motar of the asirit ha'ifa, or the minchat chavitin of the kohen gadol, also goes to nidava. But then how do you explain that brayta that we brought? He says, Ella, motar lachmei todah yirkav. When it comes over to the residuals of the lachmei todah, that's what goes out to rot. So you explain the Braita as saying that motar mincha goes nidava, that's both minchat chotah and the minchat chavitin. They go to nidava. The latter part of the Braita that says, motar mincha yirkav, that the excess mincha will then go out to rot, that's what the excesses of the lachmei todah, which look like a mincha, they go to be yirkav. As Rashi explains, first of all, the lav chatati crew, they're not called a chatat. They're not under that rubric of motor chatat goes to the nidava. Number two is, v'nidvat yachid lo karve b'fnei atzmo. As a donation of a yachid, breads don't go on the mizbeach by themselves. If you have excess monies from the breads, you can't just buy more breads and put them on the mizbeach or bring them as a matana. The breads only come associated with the Korban Todah. They don't come independently as a nidvat yachid, as a contribution of an individual towards the Mikdash or a Korban. And you can't be makriv them because we don't have lechem akarev b'fnei atzmo. Beim todah acheret, yevshar la'akrivo. And to bring it with another todah you can't do. Shrein todah kreva below lachma. Because only todah is only brought with its lechem. And so then you can't just associate this with some other Korban Todah, because they come together. And because of all those reasons, there's nothing to do with the excesses that come from the breads of the Todah. Now, Beplukta, this, what we just discussed, is a machloket, that motar asvita ifash, o kohen gadol, that issue of the excesses of the minchat chavitin of the kohen gadol, is subject to a machloket amoraim, which is Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nidava. Rabbi Yochanan, similar to Rabba's position, believes that that goes to Nidava. Rabbi Elazar, similar to Rabbi Chista's position, says Irkav, that it will go to rot, or it's put out to rot. So here you have a machloket in the early Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, which is similar to the machloket in Bavel between Rabba and Rabbi Chista, which is a slightly later machloket. But the Gemara is pointing out that this is a machloket that doesn't just exist between Rabbi and Rav Chista, but also existed between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, and obviously influences the positions of Shmuel and Rabbi Yoshaya, depending on whether you think that the minchat chavitin of the Kohen Gadol goes within the davar or not, will influence whether you think you need a shofar for the leftovers or the excesses from the chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. Meitavet, motar shkalim chulin. The Mishnah, again, in shkalim, where you have excess shkalim, or monies that you set aside to pay for the shekel. Say, over the year, you used to collect your pennies inside of some sort of canister. At the end of the year, you count it up and said, oh, that'll be for my machzita shekel. If you have more than you need for your machzita shekel, that excess is shkalim. We don't think that you were machdishit because your clear intent was to get to a machzita shekel. Anything in excess of that, you don't want to give. Motar asirita ifa. Umotar kine zavin vikine zavot vikine yodot vichataot vashamot motrehen nidava. All these leftovers are nidavot. So motar kine zavim, kine zavot, and kine yodot are all of the same nature. Those are leftovers from kinin, pairs of birds that have to be brought in order to be mitaher or bring these people to the final stage of their tahara for a zav and a zava on the eighth day and a yoledet. At the end of the period of time that she is tmeah, she brings the birds as a korban. V'chataot v'ashlamot, which we saw above, those also have motrot that go to nidava. The question, obviously, from the Mishnah is, umotar asiri ta'ifa. What's the reference of motar asiri ta'ifa? And since from the Mishnah, that excesses from the minchat chavitin go to nidava, now we're supportive of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabba's position that they go to the nidava. And it's a question on the view of Rabbi Elazar and Rav Chista. So my lav, motar asirita ifashol kohen gadol, that's what the reference is in the Mishnah. It says, lo, motar minchat chuteh. There's also another asirita ifa that is also a mincha, that the excesses are put in the davah, and that's the minchat chuteh. This Mishnah clearly favors either the view of Shmuel or Rabbi Yoshaya, because the asirita ifa has to either be explained as a minchat chavitin, or a minchat choteh, whereas the other Amoraim don't believe that a minchat choteh goes to nidava. And if that's the case, they also don't believe that a minchat chavitim of the Kohen Gadol goes to nidava. And then how are they going to explain this Mishnah in Shkalim? Though the Rambam seems to pasken like those Amoraim, because he says that when it comes to the motar of a minchat poter, it goes l'nidava, not nidvat tzibur, rather nidvat yachid, which means that he thinks, like the other Amoraim over here, that a minchat poter does not go to nidvat tzibur, and this Mishnah then will remain problematic for those Amoraim. Amar Rav Nachman bar Rav Yitzchak mistavra. Makes a lot of sense, according to the one who says that the excesses of the Minchat Kavitin of the Kohen Gadol go out to rot, or they're thrown into Yam HaMelech, they do not get put as Nidvat Zibur. Detanya, because you have a brayta, lo yasim aleha shemen, velo yitein aleha levona, ki chatati, that with regards to the Minchat Choteh, that's the Korban Olevi Oreid, of which the lowest level is a Minchat Choteh. About that Minchat says, do not put Shemen on it, do not put Levona on it, ki chatati, because it is a Chatat. So Amar Rav Yehuda, he kruya Chatat, vein acheret kruya Chatat. Chatat he is an exclusionary term, telling you that this is called a Chatat, but nothing else is called a Chatat. Li meid al esirita yifashu kohen gadol shein kruya Chatat. That teaches you that the Asirit Teifah of the Kohen Gadol is not called a Chatat. And therefore, Tuna Levona. It requires Levona. Ubedeena Kriya Chatat, Motra Yerkav. And just like it's not called a Chatat for the fact that Levona is put on it, so too for the fact that the Motar, the leftovers, should not be like a Minchat Poteh, and they will not be placed in the Vatat Sibur, because it doesn't have a din of a Chatat. And so now, as the Baal Tosafot point out, first of all, he kriya chatat, we darshan for a number of things in the beginning of the Masechta. So he says over here, dashin la vitarte shma mina. We can learn both things. Both that which we learned earlier in the Masechta and this over here. But the more important, Tosafot, as he notes, why do you need to exclude a minchat chavitin? The reason being is that even though it's called a chatat in Yechezkel, the psukim over here tell you that it's not really a chatat, or it's not a full-fledged chatat. So any other mincha, we wouldn't even have thought to say that they should be motrot, their leftovers should go to nidvat tzibur. So over there you don't need chatat hi to exclude other minachot. It's not even a havamina. By the sirita ifa there is a havamina because the pasuk in Yechezkel calls the minchat chavitin a chatat. So the question is, how far do we take that it's called a chatat? And that's what the breita is addressing and saying, even though it's called a chatat in Yechezkel, don't take that so seriously because it's not a full-fledged chatat, because they have minchat choteh, which is called a chatat, and there it says chatat hi. That's a real chatat. And the truth is, it would also include a minchat kinaot, because we saw earlier in the Masechta that a minchat kinaot is compared to a minchat choteh, because it's matzkeret avon, and has a din like a chatat, and therefore, if it's brought lo lishma, it's psula, and given that those character traits that are similar to the minchat choteh, then Minchat Kinaot, also the Motar would go to Nidavat Tzibur. But the Minchat Chavitin is not a real Chatat. Therefore, it comes with Levona. Therefore, if it has excesses, it's going to be left to rot. And that's what Rashi says, the Apagav Dikre Chatat, Lav Din Chatat Itla. And again, the distinction that we made before about the Minchat Chavitin is that, number one, it's a Minchat Yachid, not a Minchat Tzibur. Number two, now, we're determining that it's not a Chatat, but rather another form, a regular form of mincha, and therefore now it has to be left to rot. And unlike a minchat nedava, where if you have excesses, you can then aggregate those or add to them and bring another mincha, that's because that's a minchat yachid that is a nedava. It's not a chova. Over here, the minchat chavitim are a chova, but the chovat yachid, they don't qualify as a chatat, and that leaves you in this bind, by which you can't carry them over from day to day. You also don't get this automatic lay baked in matne alehen. They're not called a chatat. So that leaves you in this zone where they're your cup. They have to rot, or they have to be thrown out after you don't use them on that particular day. And again, that would be supportive of Rabbi Yoshaya's view of to what the six shofarot were, as well as to the positions of Rav Chista and Rabbi Elazar, that the motar of the chavitin are your cup. The next Mishnah, Shor ze ola v'nista'ev. He says, this particular shor is kadosh, and I'm going to bring it as a korban, and then it gets a mum in it. If he wants to, with the monies that he garners from monetizing this animal, he can bring two korbanot. Shnei shvarim elu ola. He points to the two particular animals and says both of these are going to be le'uda. This is a nidava versus a neder. You're specifying the item that's going to be brought as a korban. You're not obligating yourself to bring a korban. So here you see these two shvarim are going to be an ola, vinis ta'avu, and they then both got mumim in them. If you so choose, you can aggregate the monies from the two of them, and then bring a single ola with that. Rabbi Oser. Rabbi is Oser, and as Rashi points out, that's only lechatchila, Rabbi is Oser. But bidiavad, he does allow you to do this, and this will come out more clearly in the Gemara. But the reason that Rabbi's position here is different than in the previous Mishnayot, where he said even bidiavad, it doesn't work. There, Rabbi said if you take something gadol, you can't bring a katan. If something katan, you can't bring a gadol. The gadol does not discharge the obligation for the katan. That's because Rabbi believes you have to bring exactly what you specified. So how come over here he doesn't say the same thing? He only says lechatchila you shouldn't, but bidiavad allows it. That's the difference between a neder and a nedava. A neder is a personal obligation that you need to discharge. If you said, I'm going to bring a small animal, and you bring a big animal, you didn't discharge your obligation and the akrayut, the responsibility you took to bring such a korban. On the other hand, when it comes to a nidava, once the nidava is spoiled, meaning that it has a mum in it, your obligation has really dissipated. The obligation was vis-a-vis this particular animal. Once the animal gets a mum in it and you're monetizing it, the monies then afterwards just have to be used towards an olah. But it has nothing to do with your commitment because you didn't make any personal commitment. Your only commitment was to bring this animal as an olah. That already got disqualified. That was ruined. Once that's ruined, then all we need is that the monies be used towards an olah, not that they be used towards a particular type or size of olah, because whatever you promised or whatever nedava that you committed to is already gone from the picture. And so now you have no residual obligation left. That's what Rashi says. Ka'even damar zeh, eino chayav v'achriyoto. Once you say zeh, you have no responsibilities when that animal goes bad, except for the fact that you have to just redeem it. But other than that, you don't have any responsibilities then. Ayo zeh ola, v'nistev. This ayo, this ram will be for an ola, and it gets a mum in it. Imratza yaviv v'damav keves. He can, if he wants to, bring with the monies a sheep instead of a ram. And it's something that is smaller, younger than the ram. Keves zeh ola, or vice versa. If the sheep was something that he dedicated as an ola, v'nistev and then got a mum in it, then he can also bring with the monies an ayo, Rabbi Oser. And Rabbi says that you can't do that. And again, Rabbi is only Oser lechatchila, bidiavad is going to allow you to do this. Now, the Gemara says, Baha Mart Reisha. Wait a minute. What about the beginning of this Mishnah? Shor b'maneh, bevi shnayim b'maneh. If you commit to bring a shor for 100 zuz, 100 dinar, and instead, if each time, instead you bring 2, that equal up to 100, lo yatsa, doesn't work at all. Questions both on the position of Rabbi, as well on the position of the Chachamim. Even the Chachamim agree that when you said, I'm going to commit to bring a shor that's worth 100, and then you bring 2 that are worth 50, they agree that it doesn't work. So then why over here all of a sudden do we say that you can take whatever animal it is, monetize it, and then bring something else? That is, even from an ayol to a keves, which means from a gadol to a katan, or vice versa, from a katan to a gadol, which the chachamim allow over there, we understand why it might work over here. But over here, you're not limiting it to katan to gadol, or even saying if you take a gadol and bring it down to a katan, meaning that even if you took the monies and brought 2 instead of 1, we still say that's okay or fine here, as opposed to in the previous Mishnah. The answer is, and that's what we've been discussing all along, shor zeh. Vinistaev shiny. The combination of this being a nidava and the fact that it got a mum is different. So that's basically the difference between a nidava and a neder. A neder is a personal obligation to bring whatever you said, and if you bring something else, you haven't discharged that obligation. A nidava says this particular item is dedicated as an ola. Once it's ruined and it can't be brought as an ola, you have no longer any commitment or obligation to bring that which you dedicated. There are responsibilities because you made it Kodesh and you're going to monetize it. But as long as that monetization results in the Korbanei Olah bringing blood on the Mizbeach, we don't really care how you go about doing that. because your commitment has already been carried out vis-a-vis this animal. And so that commitment is already now expired. And whatever you do is just a residual from that animal. Shnei shvarim elu ola. He says, these two shvarim are an ola. V'nistavu, and then they got a mu'minet. V'tzayavi v'dmeyem echad. If you want to, you can aggregate them and bring with their monies a single shor. Rabbi Oser, my taima. Why does Rabbi Oser over here? Why does Rabbi say that's problematic? This is a situation in which you are taking two, aggregating them up to one, and it's a katan that is becoming a gadol. Why would Rabbi be bothered by that in a situation or a sense where he thinks that it might be mutar, bidyavad? Why don't we say it's even mutar lachatfila? The answer to Gemara is, mishum davale gadol vevi katan. Because it's a situation in which it's the reverse of what we thought. It's actually counterintuitive. It's a case where it's a gadol, and then you brought a katan. The afagav the nistaev, and even though it got a muminit, the chatkila lo shari rabbi. The chatkila rabbi says, we don't want you to do this. Now, that's very strange. If I'm taking two animals, aggregating them into one, why is that a case of gadol vevi katan? I would have thought that's a case of katan vevi gadol. You took two animals, aggregated them up, and put them in as one animal. They were smaller korbanot before, and now I've aggregated them into a bigger korban. Why isn't that katan vevi gadol, which the chachamim clearly think is fine? And even Rabbi, why doesn't he think that's okay? Lechatchila. Here he's only saying it's asur b'diavad. What's his hesitation in allowing this lechatchila? So Gemara's answer is that you didn't understand the idea of gadol and katan. Look at Rashi, says gadol vevi katan. Shebechol makom shnayim chashuvim me'achad. Two is always better than one. Ba'afilu shnayim shavim. Even if they're completely equal. So even though you have 2 50s and then you add them up to 100, bringing 2 korbanot is still better than bringing a single korban. And so therefore it's the equivalent of saying I had a gadol, I had a bigger korban, because I had 2 animals that were going to go on mizbeach. I have 2 alot that were going to go on mizbeach. When you aggregate it into one, even though their value is the same, that one is less because you're only bringing 1 korban olah. As opposed to the previous Mishnah, where we viewed the splitting of the animals from 1 big one into 2 small ones as not discharging your obligation, there, the reason we stated was that you promised a gadol, you can't bring a katan. But over there, the reason is because of your neder. Your neder obligated you in a particular size korban. And when you bring the smaller ones, you haven't done that. Even though it's maybe gadol in the sense of you're bringing 2 instead of 1. So that's more enhanced. That's wonderful. But that still doesn't discharge your obligation to bring this 1 big olah that you promised to bring. Over here, where you're not promising anything, but you have an obligation on this particular animal to bring it, when it goes bad, we still, the chatchila, want you to bring the better of the 2 options. And that's what Rabbi is stating over here. The better of the 2 options, when you had 2 olot, and then you're going to aggregate them into 1 olah, 2 olot are better than 1 olah, even though the values are similar. And so for that reason, Rabbi would have said the chatchila that you shouldn't do this. But if you do it, look, again, it's a nidava, and we don't have any residual obligation on you, and that's why it'll be okay with bidyabad. So where it says, liflog nami bereisha, why doesn't Rabbi argue on the first case? The way it looks in our Mishnah, Rabbi is arguing on that second case, the case where you took 2 animals and you're aggregating them up into 1. Why doesn't Rabbi argue the other way around? Because we know that Rabbi does not distinguish between gadol vevi katan or katan vevi gadol. He thinks both of those are problematic. So if that's the reasoning behind why he thinks that you shouldn't take 2 animals and aggregate them into 1, he should have the same problem with you taking 1 animal and breaking them down into 2. Even though that's katan vevi gadol, Rabbi doesn't differentiate. Gemara says, eno chanami, Rabbi akula milto polik. Rabbi argues on the entirety of the Mishnah. V'nata lehu l'rabbonan ad damaske miltayu. He waits for the rabbonan to finish their position. V'hadar miflag alayu. And then he argues on them. V'teda, and I can show you that, or I can prove to you that he argues in both directions. Diktani, because at the end of the Mishnah it says, Ayol ze ola, v'nistayev. If he dedicated the ram to be an ola, and it got a mum, Rotza b'yevmi v'damav keves. If you want, you can bring a keves with that money. Keves ze ola, or if he dedicated a sheep to be an ola, v'nistayev, it got a mum, Rotza yevmi v'damav ayol. So that would be a case of Katan being upgraded to a Gadol. And right after it says, Rabbi Oser. Rabbi says that's no good. So even if you believe that Rabbi isn't addressing the whole statement of the Chachamim, in both cases, if you just take the last statement, then you get the same conclusion. In the first part of the Mishnah, that's a case of Gadol being split down to Katan. You're taking two and putting it into one. That's Gadol to Katan, and Rabbi says, I disagree. The latter part of the Mishnah, the case is a case where he took it to Keves and is upgrading to an Ayo. There, Rabbi also says it's no good. So in either direction, whether it's a Katan, it may be Gadol, or Gadol may be Katan, we see Rabbi arguing. So that shows us, Shmamina, that Rabbi's arguing on both parts of the Mishnah, and that he disagrees. Just like in the previous Mishnah, he says, I don't like you going from Katan to Gadol, or Gadol to Katan. Similarly over here, even though technically it's not as big a problem, because it's a Nedava, not a Neder, nevertheless, he says, L'chatchila, I don't want you doing that. B'diavad, if you did it, you will discharge your obligations vis-a-vis these monies, but you wouldn't have done it the best way possible. For the Chachamim, they think that this is totally different than the case of Neder. For the case of Neder, they say you cannot go from Gadol to Katan, but you can go from Katan to Gadol, because subsumed in the Gadol is the Katan. But by Nedava, we don't worry about it whatsoever. It's free for you to do what you want, because, as we said before, Shor Zev and Istaev, shiny. Once it's a Nedava, whatever happens to that animal, that's all your obligation is. And once you got a mum in it, your obligation then dissipated, and now you just have to deal with the ramifications of having an animal that's kadosh, that got a mum in it. But you have no obligations as how to do that, or exactly what shape or form it takes. That's up to you. You can do what you want, or you can do what you please. Yivaylu, mimino lemino amai. What about moving between different minim? What happens if you want to switch? What's the din over here? If you said shor ze ola, this shor is an ola, got a mum in it, can I bring two eilim with that? That make up a shor? Can I mix and match? How open or how free is this ability to remake whatever you have when you have this situation? The question is, in a nedava case, where we do allow you to repurpose it, how flexible are we? When we say you can repurpose it, does that mean ayil and keves, which are in the same species, we let you move it around and we say that that's considered okay? But now when you're starting to jump different species, maybe over there that's too broad or too wide a net, and we're not going to let you do that. You got to stay within the species. So tashma, shor ze ola v'nistev. You have a shor that was dedicated as an ola and then got a mum in it. Lo yavim b'damav ayil. Don't bring with the monies an ayil. You can't replace the shor with an ayil. What you can do is bring two eilim with that money. Rabbi Oser, Rabbi says you can't do this. The fish ain't bila. Because there is no mixing, which we'll have to explain what that means. Why is there a distinction here? Shmamina. So now, the proof from here is that you can jump species, because it says that you can jump from a shor over to an ayil. But, ioki ma'iria trei, afilu chad nami. Wait a minute. Why is it only when you went from one shore to eilim do we allow it? If you tell me jumping species is no problem, why can't you jump from a shore to one ayo? Why does it have to be two eilim? So Gemara says, "Da ben istayv the rabbanon lo shani lo ben gadol le katan and katan le gadol." For the rabbanon, they make no distinction between katan to gadol, gadol to katan. When there's a nidava, we allow you to go and do whatever you like. Gemara says, "Trei tanaei valibe de rabbanon." These are two different tanaim, according to the Rabbanon's position. So there's one view in the Rabbanon's position that we make no distinction between Katan to Gadol, Gadol to Katan in an Nidava. As soon as it gets a moment in it, you're discharged all obligations. You're free to use the monies for whatever you'd like to do. That's our Mishnah. Mishnah says do whatever you please with it. Katan to Gadol, Gadol to Katan. You want to jump species? Whatever you want works. The other view in the Rabbanon is the Rabbanon maintained their position from the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah, they say you can't go from Gadol to Katan, but you can go from Katan to Gadol. And they'll be the authors of this Braita. In this Braita where it says you can move from a shore to two eilim, that's the equivalent of going from Katan to Gadol. Because we said two is always better than one. So then when you're upgrading from Katan to Gadol, they will allow that to Chatzilah. On the other hand, if you want to go simply from a shore to an ayo, that they won't allow, because that's going Gadol to Katan. So that they won't allow. At least lechatchila, v'diavad, again, everybody allows it because we're dealing with a nidava. So those are the two views of Tanaim in the view of the Rabbanan. Now we go to Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef Lefeshe Ein Bila. Rabbi says that you can't do this because there's no mixing. You can't go from a shor to two elim, even though you're going from something that's katan to a gadol. He does not allow it. Rashi over here says that the reasoning is tzarich lavi mehem shtei menachot b'shnei kelim. The problem is that when you had the shor before, the shor would come with one mincha. It has nisachim, and the minchat nisachim that come to the shor are singular. But now, when you bring the two elim, you're going to have to bring two minchot nisachim, and they cannot be combined into a single kli. So therefore, it looks like you're actually not doing whatever your neder was, whatever you had suggested. Rather, you are splitting it up into two different things. It doesn't look at all like what you would have. Now, had it not been for the minchot, then it sounds like Rabbi would have been just fine with you doing this. And that's what Rashi says, because Sakhadatta, to evil out Mishum Menachot, Leuichbat Lana Korbanot. Had it not been for the Menachot, the Korbanot themselves wouldn't have bothered us. Because Ineder Chad, Umaiti Train, Homi Koach Kama Ka'atu. It's a derivative of the original. Umenachot may be Mibeito. But the Menachot would come from your house, that's not true. So in the case where I went from one shor to two elim, the reason that Rabbi wouldn't be bothered by that is because I am taking something that is sure. I'm taking the monies that I have from that, and now I'm continuing with these two elim. These elim are a continuation, basically, of the shor. They're an embodiment of whatever the shor was. They now carry that forward. So even though they're two elim, their power draws from the original shor. That's not true by the minchat nisachim. When you brought the shor before, you'd have to bring a mincha from your house to accompany it. Then when you bring the two elim, you have to bring two minachot from your house to accompany it. But that's not a derivative of the original mincha. That's something totally new. And now it doesn't look like what you originally had pledged. You had pledged one animal with one mincha. Now you're bringing two animals. That we're not bothered by because that's a derivative of the original animal. But the mincha, two minachot that you're bringing are not a derivative of the original animal. And therefore now you have a problem, and that's why Rabbi won't allow you to mix them. That's the view of Rashi as to what it means that ain bila. Tosafot, on the other hand, says that it's a din that comes up from what we saw in the Gemara earlier on, back on Pei Ted and Mudbet, that you're not allowed to mix minachot together. You have minachot from different animals, you're not allowed to mix the minchat nisachim. So similarly over here, when you bring two minachot of the elim, you can't mix them together, and therefore it's different than the mincha of the shor, which is a single mincha and a single kli. On the other hand, when it comes to the dam, you're allowed to mix the dam together of the two elim, so that they become, or they can look like a single korban. And even though the chatzila, we wouldn't let you do that, if the solet of the two menachot already got mixed, we would let you mix the dam le chatzila, and allow you to do the matnot dam. So Tosfot says that the korbanot are not a problem because of the fact that the dam can really be mixed or brought as a single entity, versus the menachot that can never be brought as a single entity. So he sees that as the difference between the korbanot and the menachot. Rashi says it has to do with what is the menachot are not a derivative of the original, whereas the elim or the damim are a derivative of the original, and that's what the difference is. So that's Rabbi's view as to what the problem is over here. Mar says, taima dein bila, the reason behind Rabbi's position is because you can't mix the menachot. Ha yesh bila, shari. But that means that if there was the ability to mix them, he would be matir it. That means that Rabbi is saying now, when you go from a katan to a gadol, that's fine. Okay, it's by a nidava. So it's different than a neder. He won't say that by neder. But by nidava, he's telling you the chatchila, we allow you to go from something small to big, which is a shor, to two elim. Had it not been for the menachot, he would have allowed that. But not. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, Rabbi argues and says, Ayol zeula, v'nistev, v'tzaya v'bidamav keves. If you have a ram that was dedicated as a korban, and then it got a mom, and then you exchanged it into a keves, that's a downgrade, that's gadol to katan. But then the vice versa, keves zeula, if you have a sheep that was an olah, and then got a mom in it, if you have a mabayo, you're allowed to upgrade it and bring it as an ayo. Rabbi Yoser. Rabbi says you can't do that. Even when it's a katan to gadol, Rabbi by nidaba says that's no good. So why over here are you saying that Rabbi thinks that it's totally fine had it not been for the bila problem? And then yet in our Mishnah he says there's no go. Even from katan to gadol, by nidaba, we don't allow you to do it. The chatchila. Again, Shrei Tanaei, Valibid Rabbi. These are two Tanaim in the view of Rabbi. So the view of Rabbi, clearly by Neder, is that you can't go in either direction. Not Gadol to Katan or not Katan to Gadol. By Nidava, it's clear that he believes that you can't go from Gadol to Katan. By Katan to Gadol, that's a machloket Tanaim as to what Rabbi's position is there. Whether you can do that the Chatkila, or is it only good Bidiabad? Our Mishnah believes it's only good Bidiabad. The Braita believes that it's even good the Chatkila to go from Katan to Gadol. Right now, the Gemara in the middle here just starts off just saying things as if you know where they are. It happens to be it's a continuation of the Braita that we brought before. The Braita that we brought before about the shore being converted into an ayo, this is the continuation of that Braita. It will be to Horim. And in cases where these are animals that can be brought in Mizbeach, Egel vevi par, Kebes vevi ayo, Yatsa. If you had committed to bring an Egel, and instead you brought a par, or had you committed to bring a Kebes, and instead you brought an ayo, Yatsa. That works. That's not, you should bring what you're supposed to bring, but if you bring the bigger item, it works. Stama kidrabonon. That stam is like the Rabbonon who believe that when you have a nether, if you're going from Katan to Gadol, that that's okay. And that's what we saw in the previous Mishnah. So that means that the Seifa of the Braita that is saying that you can upgrade from Katan to Gadol, that's the Rabbonon's position. Alright. You can take the monies that you have monetized and bring two of them. Amarab Nashi Barzvid, Amarab. Loshano Eldamar Shoze Ola. That's only if he dedicates this particular shore to be an Ola. Aval Amar Shoze Alai Ola. If he says that this shore is an obligation on me to bring as an Ola, Hukva, then it's now locked in. And locked in means you, if something goes wrong, you're going to have to replace it and bring exactly what you committed to bring. Or in essence, this is the difference between a Nitaba and a Nether. And here you have the word alai, which makes it into a nether. V'dilma alai l'havio kamar. Wait a minute, that language is a little bit of a mix of a language. Shor ze ola, we know for sure, is a nidava, because then you're pointing to the shore. Hare alai shor l'ola, that's clear that you're taking a nether. Here he has both languages in there. He says, shor ze alai ola. So you're telling me that the word alai over there makes it into a nether all of a sudden? Maybe it means alai l'havio kamar. He's saying, short there, this is a nidava, a lie. I'm the one responsible to bring it up as an ola. He's not saying that I'm responsible to replace it. I'm not giving achrayut on it. He's simply saying, I'm the responsible party to ensure that it gets to the mizbeach. But if something goes wrong, then there's no responsibility anymore because it's not going to the mizbeach. Ela itmar hachitmar. This is the way the member should read. Amarab minashi barzvid amarab, lo shano damar shor ze ola. Inami amar shor ze alai ola. Either one of those languages would allow you to do whatever you want with the monetized animal if it gets a moment it. Because both of those are nidavot. Avalamar, shor ze vidamav alai ola. If he says that this shor and its value are my responsibility to bring it as an ola, hukva, then he's locked in. Because he's not only saying that this shor in particular, I'm responsible to get up to the Mikdash. He's saying I'm responsible for this shor. And its value, to get it up to the Mikdash, that's already a neder, and that's an obligation. But if he doesn't say a lie, then there's no problem, because there's no achrayut. He's not taking any responsibility. Once he takes responsibility to replace it, and over here he's saying the value replacement of this ola I'm responsible for, that makes it into a neder and a personal obligation. That means if the shore got a muminit, you got to replace it with another shore when you sell it and monetize it. Okay, next Mishnah. Omer echad mikibsai hekdesh. He says, one of my sheep is hekdesh. Echad mishorai hekdesh. Or one of my oxen is hekdesh. Vayulo shnayim. And he only has two. Over there it's easy. Hakadosh v'hem hekdesh. The bigger one is going to be hekdesh. He says, one of my animals. We assume that he's going to take the bigger of the two. That's the one that he meant to be for hekdesh. He says, there are only two of them. There's only one that's bigger, and in that case, that's what he referenced to. Shlosha, if you have three animals, benoni sheben hekdesh. If you have three different animals, then the middle one is hekdesh. So now, that seems to be in contradiction to the beginning of the Mishnah. The beginning of the Mishnah seems to say we picked the biggest. Now, all of a sudden, when you have three, we assume that you picked the middle one. Pirashti ve'en yudeh mashi pirashti. I was makdish one of my animals. I just don't know which one I was makdish. Oshamar li abba. My father said I was makdish one of the animals. whether the father says, I don't know, or whether the son is saying that my father told me, but I don't know which one he had pointed to. Hagadosh ben Hekdesh. Then the biggest of them is Hekdesh. That seems to be even in a case where there are three of them. There are three different dinim in the Mishnah, and they all seem to have a different view as to what happens in Hekdesh. Does the first case we have two, we assume it's the bigger one. In the case where you have three, we assume it's the Benoni. And in a case where you said, I specified it, but I don't know what I specified, we assume it's the biggest, even when there are three, not the Benoni. So now, Alma, the conclusion you would come to from reading this Mishnah is, Makdish, Ba'ayin Yafeh Makdish. The person is Makdish, they're Makdish in the most generous manner, that they look to do the best and the biggest. And again, that's supported by the Sukkim in general, which is that you have to bring Mivchar Nidreichem. You have to bring the best to whatever you're going to commit to. So that's what we'll assume over here. Ema Seifa. Then what are you doing with the next line in the Mishnah? What says, Benoni Sheben Hekdesh. Why is the Benoni Hekdesh if the biggest one or a person's always Be'ayin Yofeh is Makdish? And we should have assumed that he has three, he meant the biggest of the three. Alma Makdish Be'ayin Ro Makdish. Then a person is a little less generous when he gives to Hekdesh, and we're assuming that he's doing it in the Benoni. And the truth is, he's not really Ayin Ra, because then he would have picked the smallest. So obviously there's something in between, but he's clearly not being of the generous. Maybe just is a regular guy who gives the middle range. So Mishmuel, Choshishim af le Benoni. We are Choshish also for the Benoni. What Shmuel is saying is that the Mishnah is not saying that he brings the Benoni. We worry about the Benoni as well. To the Gabe Katan, Ayin Yafehu. As we just noted before, you have three here. And so when you really be Ayin Ra'a would be the Katan. So the Benoni, on a relative basis, is Yafeh compared to the Katan, or the worst one. And the best one is Ayin Yafeh compared to the middle and the lower one. So we're not sure when we say Ayin Yafeh, how Yafeh is his Ayin. Is his Ayin Yafeh to the point where we say that it's the best of all? Or do we say Ayin Yafeh means that he takes something better, he just doesn't take the bottom of the barrel. Takes something better than that. So that means anything besides the bottom of the barrel could be Hekdesh over here. Now, there is no real nafkamina, because in the end you have to bring the biggest one anyway. So then, Hekeyavit, what do? Then to deal with this, I'm Reb Chia Barav, Mam Tim Lo Ashu Mam. You wait till the middle one gets a moment in it. Begadol, and then he redeems that value on the larger animal. Mimanavshach. Either the larger animal was one that he meant, and that's Hekdesh now, or even if he meant the middle one, you've now transferred that kedusha onto the larger one and redeemed it on the larger one. So Mimonav Shach, you're now going to end up with the right korban or the right kedusha ending up on the Mizbeah. So that's how you solve the problem. But we are choshesh for this Benoni, which is Ayin Yofeh compared to something smaller than it. And so therefore, the Makdish Be'ayin Yofeh will govern both the first statement in the Mishnah with regards to one out of two, and also govern the latter statement in the Mishnah, which is, I said something, I don't remember what I said, or my father said something, and I don't know what he said. Over there also, we're going to assume it's the best of the items, because when you have three, or even have two, and you're saying that it is something I was Makdish, we're going to assume that what you were Makdish was the best. Then when you have three, then we would have assumed, had you said I was Makdish one of them, that would have been sufficient for us to determine that it was the best one. But then when you use a language of Echad Mishvarai, or Echad Mikivsai, Svaramet suggests that degrades the Chazok over here, because he could have just said that my Keves is Hekdesh. But the fact that he said one of my Kvasim is Hekdesh, that already means that you might have implied something else, or you said you might be indicating something besides the best. And so that language somehow detracts from what the normal chazaka that a person is makdish b'ayin yafeh, and we start to be choshesh for relative goodness rather than absolute goodness. And that's why in the case where you have three, we are choshesh for the Benoni. So then it does raise a question regarding the Mishnah that we saw earlier, that a person who says, Arei alai ula, we assume that he meant a keves, or even the opinion of Elazar ben Azariah that he meant a Torah ben Yonah. Why don't we say that a person's makdish b'ayin yafeh makdish? So you have to maybe distinguish between within a species or within a broader context. In the case where you're speaking about Ola in general, then when a person says Arei Ola Ola, the interpretation of his words are going to be what the colloquial usage of Ola is. We're not going to just assume it's the best Ola. It's going to mean that what people normally would classify as an olah, and that usually is pachot, the least of what you can bring under that category. On the other hand, when we speak about within a particular species that you are makdish from amongst these animals, we're going to assume that you're makdish the best amongst that grouping that you have the choice to bring from. So here where you're already specifying it's a keves or it's a shor, then within the kvasim and within the shvarim, we're going to assume you bring the best. But if you're just saying stam, hare olai olah, over there we're going to go with what the lashon b'nei adam is, that reference to something that is simple and discharges the obligation of an olah. And in that case, it's not going to be the best necessarily. It's going to be what people normally classify as an olah. Amrav Nachman, Amar Rabba Barbua, lo shanu el adamar echad mishvarai. Hekdesh. He said, it's one of the oxen in my herd, it's hekdesh. Then we assume the din that we saw in our Mishnah, which is if there are only two, the best one. If there are three, we chosesh also for the Beinoni, or anything above the bottom. Aval amar, shor shibif shvarai hekdesh. If he says, the ox of my oxen, hagadosh ben hekdesh, then the biggest one is definitely hekdesh. Torah bitorai ka'amar. Because he's saying, the ox of my oxen. The fact that he used that extra lashon of shor, where it wasn't necessary, he could have just said, one of my animals is hekdesh. Instead, he specified, the shor of my shvarim is hekdesh. That's the equivalent of using a heya yidiyah, and therefore it has to be something that's clearly identifiable. And that's the best. The best one, or the top one, is the one that's identifiable, and that's hekdesh. Where it says, Ini, is that really true? Amar Rabuna, Amar Rabchia, Mishmei Dula, Homer lechaveiro bayit bebeiti ani mocher lecha. Selling you one of my houses. Mareu aliyah. You can show him an attic somewhere. Right now we're figuring that aliyah means you can show him some subpar house because that's one of the houses amongst my houses. So that doesn't sound like you're giving him the best. It sounds like you're giving him the worst. La mishum de gria. Isn't it because it's the worst? That's why he's giving it to him, because he says, I said one of my houses. You get one of my houses. This is one of my houses. Lo. It's not aliyah in the sense of an attic or a second floor apartment. Aliyah means the mi'uleh, the best. He says, bayit bibeiti. Then when he says, the house amongst my houses, the house amongst my houses, that's the house. It's an identifiable house. It's not echad, one of my houses. It's the house amongst my houses, and therefore, it has to be the best. Meitave, is that really true? Shor bishvarai hekdesh. Says, the ox amongst my oxen is hekdesh. V'chein shor shel hekdesh shenitarev ba'acherim. Or you have shor shel hekdesh that got mixed up in a herd of other oxen that were chulin. Hakadosh ben hekdesh. In all of these cases, the biggest one we assume is hekdesh. V'kulam yimachru l'tzorchei olot. Then all of them have to be sold off for tzorchei olot. We assume that the biggest one is hekdesh because we have to be choshesh for the fact that the biggest one might have been the one that's hekdesh. But how do you deal with that? You sell off, you monetize all of the shvarim there. They're sold to be used as olot. Because it might be that one of them is the actual one that you were makdish. So then every one of them has to be used for olot. Then with the monies that you garner, you take the value of the largest one there, and with that you purchase an olah to replace whatever it was, the hekdesh there. And in that case, you can now discharge your obligation. With mehen chulin, when you exchange it out, the monies are chulin, because you're selling off the animals, and the animals are not hekdesh, they're all chulin. And you already used or spent the money to replace the animal that you needed. Why is it that b'kulam yimachru l'tzorchei olot u'dmeihem chulin? I understand in the case where he had one shor that got mixed up with the other shvarim that you have to do that. But why in the case where he says shor shebishvarai, does he have to also do that? Sell off all the animals and monetize and then bring the big one. You told me that shor shebishvarai clearly means the biggest one. So why am I worrying about the other animals? The Gemara says, that's exactly the answer. Targuma ashor shel hekdesh shenitarev ba'acherim. That latter part of the Braita is only a reference to the case where one got mixed up amongst other animals. It's not the case of shor shebishvarai. Vavachein kamar. Doesn't it say these two cases are similar? Vichein and similar in another case, which means that their dinim should be the same. Targuma gadol. Now the similarity between the cases is that in both cases we think the biggest one is hekdesh. But the fact that you have to monetize all of them and then use them all for tzarchei olot, that's only uniquely associated with the case where you had a shor that got mixed up with the shor hekdesh got mixed up with chulin, but not in the case where you said shor shebishvarai. Meitve, bayit bebeiti ani mocher lecha. The house amongst my houses I'm selling to you. Vinafal, and it fell down. Umareyu naful, and he says, here's your house. It fell down. That was the one I sold you. Eved ba'avadai, ani mocher lecha. This servant amongst my servants I'm selling to you. Mate. And then one of the avadim dies. Mareyu mate. He can show him the mate and say, this is the one you bought. Because he left it open. He didn't specify. It happens to be you had bad luck and you got the one that died or the one that fell down. Vamai. Let's say, haiden nafal, haiden mate. The way that we have it in the Girsa, my let's say, haiden nafal. Why is it that the mocher is showing him the one that fell down, or haidan mate, or the one that died? Why don't we figure out which one was the best, and then that will determine whether it was really his that was the one that died, or really his the one that fell? Why is it that the mocher is showing him the one that fell and the one that died? Why is that conclusive that that belonged to the lokeach? Although the way Rashi's Girsa would be, am I? Next day, hey, Nafil. Why is that true? Let's see which one fell down. Or am I? Next day, hey, I mate. Let's see which one died. Because if you believe Bayit Shebeiti and Evit Shebavadai means the best, then just look at if it was the best one that died or the best one that fell. And then we'll know whether the Lokeach lost out or didn't lose out. Why is it that he can point to whichever one fell down and whichever one died and said that belongs to the Lokeach? Lokeach kamart? Wait a minute, you're speaking about a buyer. Shaye Lokeach, the ad balashtar ala tachtona. Because the balashtar always has the lower claim. That's because when you have a shtar, your claim is that I'm entitled to one of these houses. I'm entitled to one of these abadim. Now, you don't have any specification within the shtar. That's a deficit in your shtar. And now you want to be motzimi chavero ala varaya. You want to change the status quo now. You've got to prove that it wasn't yours that died or wasn't yours that fell down. And since the mocher is the one who's mukzak in all these items here, the Baal HaShtar has the obligation to prove what's being said. Now, the Sfat Emet is somewhat bothered by this because if Rabba Bar Ravua's principle is correct, then we know what he meant. There is no safek here. Yad Baal HaShtar Tachtona is only an issue when there is a safek. It's not a question when we know the information. And over here, according to Rabba Bar Ravua, it's clear that when you say Bayit Shebeiti, Evet Shebavadai, that you meant the best. So what type of safek do we have here in terms of Yad Baal HaShtar Tachtona? The Sfat Emet in the end, he doesn't say this exactly, but is what is, I think, meant by the Sfat Emet, which is that whenever you say miyuchad, exceptional, exceptional today has a connotation of being the best. But it's not really true. If you speak something that is exceptional, it can be exceptional to the best, and it can be exceptional to the worst. It's exceptional because it's not the norm. We now, in the colloquial, use it only to refer to something that is better than average. Similarly in Hebrew, when we speak about mitsuyan. So mitsuyan means to be segregated or separated or unique in some way. That could be unique because you're below average. It could be unique because you're above average. And actually in the Haggadah, that's the usage of the word where it says about Bnei Yisrael, Shemitsuyanim ayusham. In Mitzrayim, they're mitsuyanim. Doesn't mean they were the best. Mitsuyanim means that they were segregated. They were distinct from the Egyptians in Mitzrayim. But mitsuyan today in the colloquial is used only to be someone who's exceptional or above average. But the truth is that the pashtut of the word means that it's outside of the normal range or unique or something special about them. And special can be both special in the good meaning and it can be special in a negative connotation. And so over here too, when he says that it's Bayit Shebeiti and Evet Shebavadai means the miyuchad. It means the exceptional one. Exceptional in which way? Does it mean exceptionally good, exceptionally poor, or exceptional in the fact that that's the one that died or that's the one that fell down? And so that is where we have the safek of how to interpret it. By hektesh, when we say that a person is makdish b'ayin yafeh, then we always think that the exceptional means the best of the items. But over here, where we're dealing with mekach u'memkar, maybe the meaning of exceptional is in doubt, and therefore yad baal HaShtar HaTachtona kazi motzi mechavereo ala baraya. So when you're dealing with buying and selling, that's very different than being makdish. But makdish, it's b'ayin yafeh, adam makdish. And therefore we assume when he says shtor shebishvarai, we assume that he means the best of the houses. On the other hand, when the person says, Evet Shebavadai, that's a transactional thing. If that's what's written in the contract, then it's your problem that you didn't specify which Eved. You're going to be the one to lose here. And he can say, whichever one died was yours. If you already came to that answer, wait, that case before you said, I'm going to sell my house amongst my houses to you, and he shows him the aliyah. We have to reinterpret aliyah not to mean addict, because that would have been the worst, to say that it was me'ulashev and the best of them, because we wanted to be consistent in this idea that when you specify the item amongst other items, that means the best of the items. Mar says, you don't have to do that anymore. Let's say it really means an aliyah. Degree, and it's negative, yad balashtar la'tachtona. That's because by mekach ha'memkar, he has a shtar that says, I'm entitled to one house amongst the houses. You have to prove that that means not the aliyah. You have to prove that means the best one. So when you are the one bringing the evidence, then you have the lower position over here. When it comes to hektesh, we're going to view that differently, and we're going to give hektesh the upper hand and say, it's the best, unless you can show us otherwise, we're going to assume it's the best. In the case of mecher, we're going to assume that it's the worst, or the worst circumstance, unless you can prove me otherwise. That doesn't mean it has to be the worst of the items. Even if it's a middle-range item, and that's the one that died, he can say, that's the one I had in mind for you, and that's the one you bought. Because there's no proof in the shtar that evidence is to the contrary. Until he has evidence to the contrary, he can't prove that that wasn't the intent of the seller. Okay, I'm going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Kuftet, Amud Aleph.